Is there anyone that has a yes in their spirit today? Things might not quite be going the way that you anticipated or planned or even needed, amen, but you still have a yes. Sometimes it can be hard to have a yes when everything around you is saying no. Anybody ever been in that season? God is requiring your yes, but everything else is saying no. It's critical that we have the ability to say yes in oppression, yes in the hell, yes in the fire, yes in the madness, yes in the crazy, yes in the confusion, yes when we don't understand. See, because the thing is, God is not taken by what seems to be overtaking you. And you ought to get excited about that, because when we begin to understand the relationship between God and us, he said that he would never leave us nor forsake us. So with that, we ought to be able to give a yes despite what's going on around us. Amen? One more time, put your hands together for God. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's give God a hand clap for the praise team. Amen. Exceptional job. Exceptional. Exceptional job today. Bless the Lord. Excited. I want to share this with you real quickly. I want you to see. Okay, or hear.
Or hear.
I want you to see when you are in or a part of warfare. I want you to see it when you're in or a part of warfare. Since the beginning of the year, numbers have been up. Things have been going pretty smoothly. And it's funny how when the numbers are up, we have the most chaos going on. But when it is that God has sent a remedy, when he has sent an answer, when just quite frankly we don't work some things out, it's amazing to me how then you begin to see things seem to look like they're falling apart. We have to understand it just seems that way. The men in the house, have you noticed that over the last week and a half, our group chat has been dry? When usually, I think we had a good day yesterday, but other than that, usually every day is a good day. And what happens is, we don't understand that there's an attack. We accept things like just living life. Had to be gone that weekend, two weekends. And we fail to realize that Satan is trying to slow down what it is that God has mandated, amen? What he has called into play. It's in these times that you, not just me, we, have to get on the phone and say things like, where are you at? And did you know that you was going to have church Sunday? And why aren't you here? And I expect to see you next week. Because what we can't allow to happen is the momentum to be snatched from us. And then things go back to the way they were. Amen? Quite frankly, we just have to guard the unity of unity. Amen? And when you are committed to something, you just don't get to do whatever you want to. When you have given your yes to something, we expect you to keep your word. Amen? And in the world, we might not see you for a while, and it don't make no never mind. But in the spirit, not so much. In the spirit, we demand that you be responsible to your responsibilities. Amen? Amen? Amen. If I could talk to you real quickly, to the few fathers that are here, we bless God for your life. Happy Father's Day. Amen? Yeah. We live in a time where the father will teach him how to throw the ball. The father will teach him how to run the ball. The father will teach him how to stop him, sack him, tackle him, defend him all the years of their life. And then they'll get on TV after they scored their first touchdown and say, "Hi, Mom." As if she was out there in the field sweating with the child, amen. We live in a time where they say things like men aren't visible, fathers aren't visible in the church. And I believe that we have spoke such a curse over the topic of men that men pretty much just walk in it. We live in a time where if a man and a woman have a baby and the man takes care of the baby, everybody wants to applaud him. When the reality was, that was actually just what you were supposed to do. It's hard out here for the man because we don't know most times if we're coming or going, amen? I just want to speak to you real quickly from the topic. If we don't give them anything else, if we don't give them anything else. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I come here today, God, and I ask that you deal with every down and downtrodden spirit in the house today. We come up against spirits of tiredness and lazy and slothfulness, and I just really didn't want to be here, spirits, but I showed up anyway, and God, we ask that you remind us of your word that says, "I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth." God, we thank you because you are magnificent despite us. You love us despite us. And we just believe that your people will hear your word today. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Somebody say amen. Amen. If you don't give them nothing else. John Michael Green, a famous American author, once wrote one of the most powerful quotes that I have ever read on the subject of fatherhood. And I would like to share that quote with you today. Mr. Green said, and I quote, "The nature of impending fatherhood is that you are doing something that you are unqualified to do, and then you become qualified while doing it." Yeah, end quote. And I love this quote because within the quote, it gives a subtle grace to the father that realizes he doesn't have all the answers, but is still determined. He's still determined to be the best father that he can be, though oft times he has not been properly trained to do so. Yesterday, during the Father's Day luncheon, Deacon Reuben brought up being determined to live his life for Christ. And while I understood what Reuben was saying, the Holy Spirit began to download something into my spirit. He said, "You can be determined until the key factors in which whatever you are determined about rise up against you in such a way that despite how determined you are, it remains impossible." Case in point, I have a beautiful daughter whom I love dearly. However, after all of the consequences of living a life of crime has sat in and taken toll on our relationship. And due to things that I call just living, rubbing her the wrong way, despite my determination, I have not been able to win her love back. And though my determination may be strong to be in her life, the problem is my determination is connected to me. It is connected to my will, my strength, my feelings. And if my feelings aren't bulletproof, and they are not, eventually her rejection of my attempts to heal us will inevitably wear down my will. It can be a really heavy thing for a man who has always loved his children but lacked proper training on how to raise his children. Did you hear that? Because you can love your children but not know what you're doing with your children. Oh, God. We're learning along the way. Because of the pain that he has caused in the child or in the past, oftentimes the child cannot receive the dad's I'm sorry. Because the dad's I'm sorry is constantly being drowned out by the child's pain, by the stories that they have heard from family members who feel some type of way towards the father. And the stories could very well be true in most instances, but the question is, why is there or was there a reason to share the worst of me? Any men know what I'm talking about? All the things that you could have talked about me, you chose to talk about the worst of me. And when you knew that would enrage and shift the child's mindset towards me. Have I got any men in the building that, you know, just if we just kept it real, some of our, counterparts in parenthood have been scandalous. And I can just go ahead, if it's all right, and speak for every man in the building who happens to carry the precious title of father, but has to admit that I haven't always been who I am right now. And I have dropped the ball more than I care to admit. And I have failed my children more than a few times. And there have been some times in my life that I have mishandled my children in such a way that I had to question myself, what is wrong with you? If it's okay with my fellow fathers in the building today, I would like to say to all of our children, especially the ones that still harbor secret emotions, especially the ones deep down that can't stand being in your presence, we are sorry. We was doing something that we were unqualified to do. In fact, I once heard somebody say that any joker can make a baby. We find issue in raising it. Lord, have mercy. So I just like to say we're sorry. We didn't mean to let you down. We didn't mean to break your heart. We didn't mean to not keep our word. And I know that we can't change the past. And I know that there are things that you won't forget. But our prayer is that you understand we are not who we used to be. And though that may not be perfect even now, we are doing the best we can. Lord, have mercy. Mr. Green said, again, I quote, "The nature of impending fatherhood is that you are doing something that you are not qualified or you are unqualified to do. And then you become qualified while doing it." But we very seldom think about the fact that though we're becoming qualified to do it, there's going to be some hurt along the way simply because I just don't know what it is that I'm doing. There's going to be some letdown along the way because I am not qualified to take on the position, watch this, that I have positioned myself in. Oh, Lord. And because I'm unqualified, watch this, the children are vulnerable. The children are vulnerable because despite my love for them, I don't have training to handle them. And so watch this. I grew up thinking that as long as I bought it, we ought to be all right. As long as you stay Jordaned up, you understand that I love you. As long as I dress you in the malls, you ought to understand that I love you. And I grew up on the premise that, don't trip, baby, because these felonies got your name connected to them too. You understand what I'm saying to you? I wasn't the only one driving night. You drove in it too. I wasn't the only one living in the beautiful home. You lived in them too. And so every felony that got my name on it, your name is somehow connected to it as well. And I don't mind doing prison time for you because I love you. And what I refuse to do is allow you to live in a way that I had to grow up. So what we have going on here is a sacrifice that you don't understand. And the problem with it is you won't understand it until you're in my position. Lord, have mercy. You won't understand it until something comes from your loin and you love it with every fiber of your being. And all it has to say is, Daddy, I won't. And all of a sudden, you begin to go back into a place of where you used to say, Daddy, I won't. Okay, can I just go ahead and be 100 about that thing? You didn't even get to say, Daddy, I won't in most instances, because in most instances, Daddy wasn't there. And so I said, Mama, I won't. And never had. So they don't understand that when they say, I won't. I don't just hear what you want, I remember what I didn't have. And I decide right then, by any means necessary, you are going to live a life that is far better than the life that I lived, even if it means that sometimes I have to go away. Oh, y'all don't hear me in here. Oh, Lord, have mercy. And I know I can't change the past. I can just do the best that I can. This quote just blows my mind, because when it comes to walking into fatherhood, we are so unqualified that it doesn't matter if you had a father of the year type father or dead be dead, both still unqualified, because you will see things that your father didn't. Us fathers today are challenged with things that our fathers were never challenged with. We are raising children in what I call the Google area, and the Google era. And so instead of our children coming to us for understanding and wisdom and knowledge, oftentimes they skip over us and go to a computer. And contingent upon whose idea on the subject they gravitated to will determine how much we are going to disagree on the subject and the points that they have adopted. Now watch this. This is where you see Satan in the mix. One thing that kids who are smart don't like for you to do is disagree with their theory. And the problem is that we have different devices. We have electronic babysitters now, and as a consequence, these kids are Googling everything that they want to know. And if they decide, watch this, if Satan sets the stage in such a way that what they say, what they read, brings opposition between you two, and you express your disagreement with what it is that they feel or what it is that they have went and learned, watch this, they begin to side with a person that they have never met over you. And they begin to believe that whoever it was that posted the post or wrote the writing, that they not only do they know more than you, but they know, they begin to feel like they know what's best for them over you. Oh God. Today, my brothers, we are living in times where, regardless to if we have money or if we broke, there is one thing that you can give your children that will always bless their lives. And this is deep, because the one thing that will always bless their lives in 2023 is most often the one thing that they don't want. Oh God, y'all quiet in here. It would be good for you to know the ways of God. But see, God don't allow anyway with you feeling good about it for you to dress any kind of way. God don't allow for you to demean yourself and lessen yourself through the music that you listen to. And the problem is that our children don't understand that you are you begin to conform to what it is that you always have before you. It don't necessarily have to be in the physical in front of you. They begin to conform to the music that they hear. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. Snoop Dogg did a number on our women, amen? Because I remember when he first came out, it wasn't men that made Snoop Dogg rich. It was women. Watch this. They dug his look. They dug what he was saying, and they accepted the fact that they was bees and hoes and all of that. You understand what I'm saying to you? And when you looked at the breakdown of who was buying his music, it was more women over the men. Women would go to the concert just so they could be cussed out. Oh, God. So they could be cussed out, degraded, and done wrong, and told that we gonna gang rape you, and it ain't no fun if the homies can't have none, and ladies shouted like crazy. And 10 years, 20 years later, we're still, us fathers, laying in the demolition of what old Snoop done. Snoop has made it, he has made it okay all across the world to be high on any scene that you show up in. And we got to fight folk because they say, it's just music. But had anybody thought that when he began to lay the outline, or he began to set the platform for women to be degraded on every level, younger rappers begin to go, I bet we can say this. Now we got women singing songs about they don't mind being the side chick, and y'all don't hear me up in here. And I don't mind you lessen who I am as a woman as long as you don't forget about me. Somebody better talk to me in here. Do you understand that if you're going to be a Christian father, Lord have mercy, if you're going to be a Christian father, be wise enough to make a baby with a Christian mate. Because what I'm seeing a lot in my life is that a whole lot of fathers is trying to get themselves together are connected to a whole lot of mates that ain't sold out on the fact that Jesus is actually the way. Oh, God. Oh, God. This is deep in here. And this isn't something that I think, and this isn't something about me being biased because I'm a male and I'm a father. Baby, this is something I'm watching on an everyday basis. It used to be that you had to convince the man that God is good. But somehow, some way, Satan has set the stage to where God holds us back. God don't want us to be happy. God wants too much control over our life. He wants to tell us how we're supposed to live our life. And if we don't live our life like that, then we don't get what he's got for us. And what kind of God is that? Fathers, you're in an incredible position if you want to raise your children, if you want to raise them holy. And if we sneak into a if you will sneak into a conversation with me, I promise I'm almost done, that King Solomon was having with his son. And fathers, I believe that if you impart this conversation to your children and be intentional, I'm not giving you a choice in the matter. I come from the school of as long as you in my house. And I know we got all this new wave parenting where we need to let the child express themselves and we got to let the child live. But I just stand by that old adage that as long as you live in my house, You want to eat, you better listen. Oh God, you understand? You'll be in school with people think you rocking a fashion. Now, baby, them pants ain't shorty, so they ain't what you call them things right there. They stop right there. You women wear them all the time. Capris? No, that's called, those ain't capris. That's disobedience. I mean, capris, that's disobedience. No, he ain't a fan of Michael Jackson. That's disobedience. What you mean, Pastor? That meant from this summer to next summer, we ain't bought nothing because you don't get it. Now to have my daughters back in here real quick. So because I understand as a pastor, a lot of times when I talk father-child things, everybody automatically wants to look at my child. Are their thoughts go to my child? And people need to understand that energy travels. So, baby, you hold your head up because I ain't talking about you. You understand what I'm saying to you? Because for the last couple of Bible studies we've sat down in, she's answered questions with no problem. And when people was just talking rhetoric, she was talking Bible. So I don't want you to think that I'm sitting here talking about you. We don't get down like that. You understand what I'm saying to you? I'm talking about life, period. And let me tell you something, parents. It would be wise for you that when you are speaking on children on a whole, that you let your child know, baby, I'm not talking about you. Because the worst thing we can do is make our children feel like we will sell them out for an amen, or we will sell them out for some acceptance, or we will sell them out so that we can get our point across. The devil is a lie. Let me tell every parent in the building, you better have your child's back to the point to where you will check anybody anywhere. But watch this, and if they wrong, as soon as you get home, you gonna check them too. There's a conversation. Oh, I heard somebody say, I'll come about mine. But can I just go ahead and can I double down on that statement right there? And when they wrong, you better come harder. You better come harder. Oh, I'm gonna defend you to no end. Oh, you better believe that. But as soon as we get home. Oh, as soon as we get home. Lord have mercy. There's a conversation that King Solomon is having in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. And we're having some technical difficulties. You see what I'm saying to you when I say that the enemy will try you on every hand. Let me tell you something. You know, you're growing in the Lord when you're sick as a dog, and Kim Merrill is sick as a dog, but she's like, get me the scriptures because they're going to get on the screen. And she gets them on the screen, and then the Satan says, no, they're not. We're under attack. And let me just go ahead and say this before I get into this. You need to start praying harder. Praying intentionally about your church. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we bind up every attack that comes up against the Unity Worship Center from the attendance to the screens. God, get it all right. We decree and declare victory over the screens. We declare victory over the computer. We can declare victory over the attendance. You've got to sit in warfare about what you believe in. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. They're not going to be on the screen, but you ought to know those by heart. It says, you remember it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, and in all ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So watch this. Solomon is having a conversation with his son, and he's telling him, because he starts out Proverbs chapter 3 and saying, son, Solomon is the wisest and wealthiest king to ever rule. He sits his son down, and he drops jewels on him that if he receives the instruction will bless him for life. He says to him, son. And I don't want the daughters to feel slated on that. This is just how he was talking to you too. Let me just put it like that. When times get hard, he was saying, son, when times get hard, and they will. When money gets funny, and it will. When friends get funny style, and they will. when your education doesn't have the answers for the struggles that you're going through, when folk aren't answering the phone when you need them to, like they promised they would, he says, here are some jewels that I want you to keep close to your heart that will guide you through every season of your life. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and there's a promise he will direct your paths. Hold on, let me back that thing up and deal with that again. He said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Solomon says, son, here's the formula to get through life when everything is going crazy around you. And he gives him three good points. The first point is, he says that he gives him, is to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Let me go ahead and tell you daddies out there right now, what you better be kicking to your son is not the newest Hot Wheels set. It's not the newest pair of Jordans. It's not the hottest song that's out. I don't even care if it's a church song. Baby, what you need to be imparting into your child is trust in the Lord with all your heart. As Everly lays peacefully sleeping in the wee hours of the night, both of you need to be getting up just saying, trust in the Lord, trust in the Lord, trust in the Lord. You see that right there? Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. I don't know whose baby that is, but every night as she's sleeping, you hear that baby sleeping, trust in the Lord. As you're feeding the baby, trust in the Lord. The Lord provided this for you. Had it not been for the Lord, which was on your side, you wouldn't even be getting this. And I want you to understand, they need to grow up. And you tell me, you say, well, that ain't gonna do no good. That ain't, the devil is a lie. Mimi had Zay back there, and we was putting scripture in Zay before he could even understand what words meant. But today, anything that Zay do got God incorporated in it. He don't play outside with chalk on the concrete without writing something about God is good. You understand what I'm saying to you? Trust in the Lord. Everything. I look at my grandson Levi, and he deals with certain things with autism and all of that. But when he hears the word of God being preached, he stops. And he watches. When they say praise the Lord, he throws his hands in the air. Don't you tell me that if you don't raise your child. We got a prophetess in the house that's been a prophetess from the beginning of her life with Lamaya. And we spoke things into her. And now we're seeing those things come back. If you're going to give your child anything, you better give them Jesus. Amen. He tells him, he says, son, watch this. Solomon's a good daddy. He says, put your confidence in God and hang your hope on the Lord. Have faith in God, Solomon says. Son, if you want to make it through life, despite what it is that's coming up against you, you're going to have to trust God. Now, I want to ask you a question. I want you to be 100 about it. How foreign is that today? When your child comes to you, see, and you can be in church and tell a lie, and you know, and shame on you for it, because I'm not saying it to make you feel bad, for your answer to make you feel bad. I'm saying it so that I can wake you up to how it is you need to handle your children. When they come to you and they tell you that they're being bullied, my grandson, he's not here today, Zaire. He, you know, when things go down, that I get a call and he said, you know, I'm just getting bullied. I'm just getting bullied. I said, and before I said, look here, I'll send your cousins over there. Before I said back and said, don't worry about it. When you get off the bus, granddaddy be there. I beat up little kids. No, the devil is a lie. You know, no. Well, you know what I said to him? I said, what's your bully going through? I said, well, how does your bully dress? Not that good. I said, well, let's start praying that your bully can get some better clothes. Let's start praying that your bully can have their hair done. Let's start praying. You know what I'm saying? Let's start praying for whatever it is that's going on with the bully. God, you take care of it. You help the bully. You bless the bully. You make the bully happy, Lord. Only you can do it. See, before you sit back and say something like, if somebody put their hands on you, you put your hands on them. No, baby, in 2023, they can get your child killed. What you first need to understand is, what is it about my bully that he's got a problem with me? Because if I'm spiritual, Lord, have mercy, and we don't wait for him to be 13 around here to get spiritual, and we don't wait for him to receive the call of God on their life to deem them spiritual, as soon as they out the womb, we decree and declare, you are a child of the Most High God. You are a child. Lord, have mercy. Y'all don't hear me in here. And so we don't handle things the way the world does. Gotta teach him. Gotta teach him right. Man, he says, son, if you make it through, well, whatever it is that you're going through, if you're going to make it through, you got to trust in God. Now, fathers, I want you to catch this. I want you to catch this, fathers. When Solomon tells us to trust in God with all of his heart, he's telling his son to trust God with all of his heart, he is also saying that means don't trust anything else. Did you catch that? Trust in God with all your heart. That means that there's not any heart left to trust in anything other than God. Amen. And so, Lord, have mercy. Don't trust in friends, because friends will let you down. Don't trust in money, because money won't solve every issue. Don't trust in power, because folk can get crazy when they get a little bit of power. Don't trust in education, because watch this, old math will turn into new math and you won't even know what you're doing. Hallelujah. And watch this. Then he says something that's powerful. He says, Robert, he says, don't trust yourself. You know one of the biggest problems in the 21st century westernized church is we smart. And we have a tendency to trust in ourselves. Now, here's the hit. This is where it gets silly. We trust in ourselves. We do what we felt like was right. Then we say, God led me. God ain't led you. You just lied on God. Because if God had led you, you would have experienced victory. And let me just go ahead and tell you this. When God's in it, it ain't sometimes victory. When God's in it, it ain't kind of healed. Oh, God. When God, and so some of you say, so I look at my wife and I think to myself all the time, all the sickness that she's went through. And somebody might say, well, if she was healed, then why is she kind of? No, she ain't kind of healed, baby. Every sickness that she's went through has been a different sickness. So when the enemy seen that he couldn't win through MS, he came after the kidneys. And when the enemy seen that he couldn't win through the kidney, when she got delivered from the kidney situation, he came after the abdomen. You understand what I'm saying to you? He tried to enforce cancer on her life. And when he seen that he couldn't win with that, so now we just waiting on going, what you gonna try next? You understand what I'm saying? Because we over here, we live like float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. We praise God. Rumble, young Miriam, rumble. Yeah, we get down for about 20 seconds. That's all we are allotted due to the faith that we rock in. And then it's on. Then our house becomes a place of warfare. We don't even let our daughter get caught up in getting sad about what's going on. He has, the Bible says, give no room to the enemy. And if you're going to get deep in your walk with God, if your walk with God is going to deepen, I want you to understand something. You better start. You're going to have a faith that don't allow you a whole lot of woe is me mentality. Yeah. Because if the deeper that you get in your walk with God, the harder that the enemy is coming. And you have to have a faith that does not allow. Hey, you have to have a faith that talks to you. Hey, that, we done cried for about 45 seconds, and he done had his way about things done got worse in your body for about 45. The devil is a lie. Do you remember that the same God that delivered you is the same God that we serve? We serve today. Oh God, don't you trust yourself? Don't you trust yourself? And And there's this lie going forth that, you know, and it's major because we live in a time where we have been made to believe that we are self-sufficient, and you more of a superhuman if you self-sufficient, that we don't need anybody, especially God. Let me say this to you. I want you to be real about this, and I was getting ready to make the point, and I got thrown off, but catch this. The next time that your child comes to you and says something to you that is discouraging to them, take yourself out of it. See, faith can't operate where you're caught up with you. When your child tells you that they're going through something, stop making that about you. How am I doing that, Pastor? Because you're giving them your thoughts. Why are you giving me your thoughts? This ain't about you. Give them the thoughts of God. We have to get to this point because I'm telling you, if you're going now, if you just come into church to be cute, if you just come into church to be seen, if you just come into church so that you can say that you came to church, cool. You know, you're going to be devoured. We already know this. So I ain't rapping to you. But for the ones that's serious about their walk with God, that is saying where I am in God right now is where I will not be in 6 months. In 6 months, I'll be crazy deeper in God. Then you're going to have to operate in an all the time faith. Things go on in my life and people find out about it and they say, why didn't you call me? Because you couldn't help. I ain't knocking you. I ain't being slick. I ain't being smart. But it was something serious and I didn't have time to waste time. I had to go to who I knew. Lord have mercy. Life will push you into a place. He's telling his son, you know, he wants his son to understand that no matter how educated you are, no matter how much money you have in the bank, no matter what position you hold at whatever company, life will, Lord have mercy, push you into a place that everything and everyone you counted on will fail you. In fact, is it anybody in the building that will agree? If you live long enough, you've lived long enough to know that friends will leave you for dead. If you live long enough, family will stab you in the back. If you live long enough, you'll find out that your last name don't hold the power that you thought it held to shift everything. And you know what I'm saying? And when I say that, I think about Steve Jobs, the founder and CEO of Apple, worth $13 billion when he died, yet when cancer hit his body. None of that $13 billion could save him. Robin Williams, one of the greatest comedian and actors of all time, worth $50 million at his death. But depression was bigger than his net worth, and he hung himself as a consequence. And I believe that there are some people in the building today that know what I'm talking about. You have lived life a little bit and found out that the things and people you thought you could stand on despite whatever came your way ultimately failed you. Fathers, I want to encourage you to encourage your children to get that diploma, to get that degree, and to start that family and get that career that affords you a good life. But above all of that, I want you to be intentional about making sure that your kids trust God more than anything that they've accomplished. I need you to remind them that he will never fail them. I need you to remind them that he will never leave them nor forsake them. Fathers, I need you to understand why it's so important for you to teach your children what it means to trust in the Lord. See, when you trust in the Lord, no matter how crazy life gets, there's some options that you don't even decide to pursue. Yeah, I need you to understand that when you're trusting, as you teach her to trust in the Lord, there will be options that she will never pursue. So money can become an issue, but she'll never hit the pole. Oh, God. Yeah, you got to teach them. You trust in God regardless to how it looks. Because you better believe that Satan is saying, oh, she's fine. He likes her. He'll take care of her. Oh, he'll take care of her all right. He'll take care of it to the point to where it takes years of therapy, years of medication, years, oh God, you don't hear me, years upon years of prayer to get her right back to her right mind. Fathers, you better teach your babies. You better teach your children to trust in God means you don't have to go to demonic options like selling dope. You understand what I'm saying to you? No, baby, you ain't got to sell. You ain't got to sell an ounce of weed. You ain't got to sell a key of cocaine. All you've got to do is trust in God. Because I want you to understand, there's something about trusting in God that it matures who you are despite what age you are. When I begin to trust in God, I'm maturing in my faith, and I begin to understand that everything that I see, I don't need. Oh God. In fact, can I just go ahead and tell some people in here? We know that you're maturing in God when your needs become your wants and your wants become your needs. You understand that? When your needs become your wants and your wants become your needs. And don't be dismayed when they walk away from what you taught them. Oh God. Don't you be dismayed when they walk away from what you taught them. Because what you taught them will always come back to them. I was in the worst place of my life. I was in the worst place of my life, having read a Bible in years, sitting in a penitentiary, facing forever worry, and verses begin to come to my head, and I'm thinking to myself, where in the world does this come from? I'm a Muslim, and the Bible begin to show its power on the inside of me. And you begin to remember the upbringing. Lord, have mercy. You ever remember the upbringing? Hell ever hit your doorstep and you know you taking lick after lick, but then all of a sudden you remember your upbringing? Fathers, I need you to understand that when you begin to teach them about trusting God, they don't have to pursue demonic options. They can trust in Him. So Solomon tells his son, first, trust in God with all your heart and lean not. Secondly, he tells him, and don't you lean on your understanding. You ain't as smart as you think you are. And then thirdly, he tells his son, watch this, to acknowledge God in all of his ways. Did you get that, fathers? Acknowledge God in all of their ways. Over in the New Testament, we find Peter saying the same thing. 1 Peter 5 and 8, it says, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. In both verses, we find the key word is all. Solomon is saying to his child, don't you say yes, no, or even maybe until you've acknowledged God. And you know why we don't acknowledge God in this season? Because we don't want to hear God's no. You've got to put it in your child's ear. It don't make no difference how bad you want it. If it don't line up with Scripture, you can't have it. And not only can you not have it, watch this, you shouldn't want it. You shouldn't want it. Amen. Solomon is telling his child, don't you take the job, don't you get married, don't you buy the house until you have acknowledged God. How many of you did some stuff without acknowledging God? Anybody ever been guilty of that? How'd that work out for you? Did it work? I don't know. But how many, can we just be all the way honest? How many of us lied on God and said, it was of God? I really feel like the Lord is telling me to. I know she married, but this might be the one. Huh? Lord, have mercy. want to share this last quote with you when I'm out. The author said, watch this. My father didn't tell me how to live. He lived and let me watch him do it. I'm going to say that again. The quote says, my father didn't tell me how to live. He lived and he watched me do it. Most of us, me, did not grow up with my father in my life. For the most part, he was doing well, money-wise. He dressed good. He ate good. But I had no man to watch. So I was forced to watch my mother. How many of you understand that mothers are some bad shut your mouths? Watch this. But because my mother had been deceived by the trickery, though she had been deceived by the trickery, what she wasn't going to do was let us starve. What she wasn't going to do was let us be made fun of. So instead of watching a father go work 12, 14 hours a day to feed his family, I grew up in a culture where and at this time, women didn't have much juice. Y'all were still considered second-class citizens. They didn't say that, but that's how it was in the 80s. Hey, man, you were still you couldn't get the job that the man could get. You couldn't get the pay that the man could get. And I had to watch my mother raise her children by any means necessary. And I learned, I'm going to raise my kids by any means necessary. See, sometimes Satan will use the love that you have for folk to draw you away from God. I knew about God when I started selling dope. I knew about God when I was out there popping them pistols. I grew up in the church. But my love, who was I talking to? We was talking about that yesterday. Love is so strong. Y'all remember that? Love is so strong that, watch this, that if not handled correctly, it can hurt you. So when my kids ask, I remember me asking and being told no. We learned that we learned that you didn't have to have the name brand. You see what we've done with the kids' self-esteem today? That if they don't wear Jordans, they don't feel like they're worth much. You understand what I'm saying to you? Fathers, I want to ask you a question today, and I'm done. Is your child able to watch you trust in God with everything? Let's just go ahead and make this a whole message. Women, just make this whole thing whole between men and women. Are your kids watching you trust God more than anything? Parents, are your children watching you be holy? And if how you operate, with the way that you operate in front of your children, can you rest in the fact that they're going to be okay? And you don't get to justify it by saying things like, they was going to have what they needed. No, because that's still a curse. And what you have to say is that despite whatever it is they see me going through, they going to see me trust God. They're going to see me not lean to my own understanding. They're going to see me acknowledge God. Man, let me tell you something. We was playing, what was we doing, Maya? And it didn't have nothing to do with nothing serious. And Miriam brought up, she said, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And we said, this ain't no God moment. What was we doing? Huh? The number game. Yeah. We got a game. We make stuff up in our house. I teach my kids the old school. You remember me and Shantae used to play feet and all that. Y'all don't know nothing about that because y'all was rich. But we came up with games called feet. And what was that other one? Feet and somebody said hands. All the comedians out of the work, they want to be funny. C-man. Y'all don't know about that. We ain't gonna teach you today. But we was playing a numbers game, and she starts praying. Miriam starts praying. And I'm like, this ain't demonic. But you know what my daughter gets to see? In everything, she sees her mother acknowledge the Lord. In everything, she sees her mother trust God. I want you to know there's not a pair of shoes that will ever be worth more than that. There will not be a bank account or an inheritance that you could leave them that will be worth more than that. Especially today, you have got to give your children God. I remember in 1976, it's crazy. You can play the soft music, I'm done. 1976, 1977, I was about 6 or 7 years old. I lived on 1324 South 26th Street. We lived with my Gigi. And we was watching TV. And there's a commercial that showed feminine products. And it was just like, you know, back in the 70s. And I remember my mother saying, I don't know why I remember this, but she said, nothing is sacred. She said, nothing is sacred anymore. In 2023, you remember I told you that one day, because we saw a feminine projects commercial, and I said, my mama said, nothing is sacred, and that was in the 70s. Now girls kiss girls on commercials, and they say it's okay. Now they make music that tells you how to make crack. Now they make movies that encourage our young women that if you got a halfway decent body, don't you worry about college, you can go make some money. Can you imagine how it's going to be when she's 18? Can you imagine how it's going to be when they all 18? Can you imagine the things that they're going to be showing? Oh, I remember a time when, you know, they didn't even show movies with a whole lot of kissing until after 8 o'clock because by 8 o'clock, all children should be in bed getting ready for school the next day. When they showed you love couples together, right. You remember Leave It to Beaver, they had double beds. They didn't even give you implication that there was sex. Today, 4:30 in the afternoon, you can click on any channel and see soft porn. And we're trying to figure out why our kids is running around here horny and ain't even 10 years old. Parents, I want to say this. You got to get in your children's lives. And you can't be their partner. You got to be their parent. I don't care if you like me, long as you make it. I don't care if you like me, long as you're a lady. I don't care if you like me. In fact, I didn't bring you in the world to like me. I brought you in the world to raise you. And the Bible says, train up a child in the way they should go. Well, I was in the military, and when the drill sergeants wanted me to do something, they didn't say, hey, Steve, can we talk about you giving me 20 push-ups? They didn't say stuff like, can I compromise with you? And you're giving me 30 sit-ups? They said, give me 20 push-ups. And you did it. Train, nowhere in the definition of train nowhere in the definition of train will you find a question. It's a do. And the problem is, some of these parents are too needy. Just got to have everybody like you. Not my kids. You don't got to like me. You just got to be okay. Amen. Listen, if we have anybody in the building today that has not given their life to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we offer you the invitation.